going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Thrilled that you're with us on this Wednesday morning. Beautiful start to the day out there, and I'm just... We got so much to get to this hour. We're going to get to Genevieve Wood, senior advisor from Heritage, coming up. We'll talk about a bunch of things, including the defunding of PBS that appears that's about to happen. And we're going to talk to Genevieve about that about 7:20. And a little later, Jeremy Rosenthal, who's an attorney with Fox News Radio, there was a gun ruling I want to talk to him about. So we're going to get to that for you about 7:35. But first, though, I want to talk about the fact that we've got Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger on the line this morning from the proud state of Missouri. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great this morning. Beautiful day in mid-Missouri and Jefferson City. Hope things are well in St. Louis.
Yeah, things are going well here. You've got a big event coming up because one of the things I know you focus there on the Lieutenant Governor's office is encouraging people to buy products made in the state of Missouri, right?
Yeah, we really have a neat program. It's called Buy Missouri. What it does is encourages Missourians to buy from Missouri-based businesses, actually more than just Missourians. It's anybody and everybody throughout the country. So we promote businesses that are located and manufacture or make things in the state of Missouri. So we're having a huge event in the Capitol Rotunda on the first floor of the Capitol Rotunda today, in which businesses from all over the state are going to have their booze, and we're going to be promoting all those businesses. This ties into, you know, what President Trump is trying to do, where we're trying to encourage people to buy local, so we're encouraging people not just buy in America, we're encouraging people to buy out of the state of Missouri. So we're looking forward to this great event.
Yeah, well, you get people in, and I mean, here we are talking about trade and tariffs and all of that, and I would assume one way to avoid part of that would be to buy from people that are producing things here in the state of Missouri, right?
Yeah, it really is. I visited Quaker Windows, which is a Missouri-based business in Freeburg, Missouri. They're ecstatic about this. They cannot compete with these Chinese manufacturers that are putting these windows in Lowe's and Home Depot. They've been able to compete, not be able to compete with them. They're ecstatic about Trump's policies, about affairs. They're going to build a new plant in Freeburg, Missouri. Went down and visited them. I visited last week a business in Stockton, Missouri. Again, they're getting a real positive reviews from these businesses. So I'm going to visit with dozens and dozens of Missouri businesses over in the state capitol this morning. And I invite anybody that's in Jefferson City to come over. It starts at 10 o'clock from 2 o'clock. It's called Buy Missouri. We'll be on the first floor of the Capitol Rotunda, and they can get feedback from Missouri-based businesses as to how they think Trump is doing.
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger with us this morning. There's been a big focus on trying to make Missouri a better business environment. And I'm always interested to know what kind of progress we make with a supermajority of Republicans in Jeff City. You'd think this would be pretty easy, right? And one thing would be to reduce taxes and give people incentives to move here and start businesses. How are we doing on that front?
Well, I think we're going to know in the next month. We've got about a little less than a month left in the legislative session. We'll see if we have true conservatives in the Missouri legislature. We have a lot of guys that are campaign conservatives. They like to talk the talk on the campaign trail, but don't get anything done when they get over the Senate. I think the rubber's about meet the road, Mark, and we'll see how this rest of the session plays out. And to the extent we're not getting things done, I'd be delighted to be back on your show and call out what I call rhinos or campaign conservatives that don't get anything done. Although they talk the talk, they don't get anything done. So we'll see how the next 3 or 4 weeks play out.
I heard Governor Mike Kehoe is supposed to be in the St. Louis area tomorrow because I believe that's the deadline for him to appoint a transition.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Mission director for state takeover of the St. Louis Police Department. But then, of course, the big news that we're talking about this morning is that the lawsuit was dropped. The city missed that deadline that the judge had asked them to meet on Monday. So basically, it's dismissed, but they're already saying, Megan Green is, that, oh, I'll refile it. What's your reaction to all of this?
Well, here's my reaction. I'm actually going to be with Governor Kehoe at the governor's mansion over lunch today. We're having the folks from Greater St. Louis in, probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 representatives from St. Louis, the leaders from St. Louis. So St. Louis, you know, I live in St. Louis. So and still live there. Colleen is my wife. I still live there. Can't get her to come over to the swamp in Jefferson City. So we're still in St. Louis. And, you know, Mike Kehoe has a lot of ties to St. Louis. He went to Chaminade. So it's very unusual to have two leading statewide office holders, the governor and lieutenant governor, have some St. Louis ties. You know, a lot of people, and maybe in other parts, would just soon St. Louis be annexed by Illinois.
Yeah.
But I think Governor Kehoe and I realize, you know, St. Louis is an integral part and the economic engine of the state of Missouri. So we're going to meet today. We're going to meet with all these leaders over lunch today. He and I are going to go speak with them, get their feedback, and see what we can do to move St. Louis forward and move Missouri forward.
Yeah, I know some of them. I know there's a Democrat, Ian Mackey, I think is his name, who filed a bill that won't go anywhere, but he's once again pushing for this Better Together style merger. You haven't heard any talk like that down there, have you?
I have not heard anything about that. I don't think that has any legs. It would not be a priority. At least I have not heard a peep about it here in Jeff City.
Good. Well, I know as the person in charge of the Missouri Senate, as the lieutenant governor, you get a firsthand look at how some legislation is moving or not moving. What are you expecting? Are there any big bills you think that you see making it through to the governor's desk? We got, 3 weeks left?
Well, it ties into what I said, Mark. We're going to see if these are campaign conservatives or true conservatives in the Missouri legislature. A big issue is going to be Amendment 3, you know, the misleading pro-abortion initiative that was put on the ballot by, you know, George Soros and a bunch of left-wing billionaires last year that barely passed, even though they outspent, you know, the pro-life folks by about 20 or 30 to 1. That needs to be revised, repealed and replaced. I think they're making progress on that in the House. I know that we've got some strong advocates in the state Senate. Long and short of it, we need to get that across the finish line. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a big issue. Other issues, you know, the we need to address this DEI.
Yes.
There's a couple of people carrying the mantle on that. We have a couple of bills on that. We'll see if we can get that across the finish line. So I encourage you and your listeners to watch the Missouri legislature, see if these folks are campaign conservatives or actual conservatives that get the job done. You know, they talk the talk. We'll see if they walk the walk in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
That is very true. Well, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, great having you on as always. And maybe after the session is over, we'll have you back on for a report card on how they did this year. How about that?
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
All right. And remember, Mark, you endorsed me prior to the primary, as did President Trump. So I always thank you for getting me elected lieutenant governor. I'm not sure I could have done it without you and President Trump. So I always appreciate your help.
That's good company, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. All right.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. I appreciate that. Yeah, he tells me that whenever I see him, and I'm like, I would love to take full credit for that, but then I have to take credit for all the people that I endorsed who
yeah,
lost.
He didn't get elected.
I don't know. But he did. What got him over the hump was the big turnout in St. Charles County mm-hmm. last November. And, of course, that return came in late in the evening, and that pushed him over the top. And, of course, he was on the voter guide as endorsed. And there were 7 or 8 people in the lieutenant governor's race, which made it a really divided vote in that case. So St. Charles County really did make the difference for Lieutenant Governor Wassinger there. All right, coming up, Genevieve Wood is senior advisor there at Heritage. Should we, why? Maybe this is a better question. Can anybody explain to me why the taxpayer is funding state-run television, which is basically what PBS and NPR are in to a large extent? Somebody explain that. They're about to be defunded, I think. So we're going to talk that over with Genevieve Wood when we come back. Yeah, welcome back. We have been talking, to, of course, every week to Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation, senior advisor down there. Genevieve, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good.
Yeah, you know, I'm always happy when every week it's something new. We find out about some new government waste or fraud. In the case of, like, NPR and PBS, we've known about this for years, and it's sort of been a stick in the craw of conservatives, I know, who see the kind of bias that even when there are questions to these leaders of PBS and NPR in front of Congress, they seem to be surprised when they find out that 100% of the people in their newsroom are registered Democrats. They don't.
Right.
The bias is right there in front of them, and they can't see it. Are we about to finally see some defunding of this state-run television?
Well, Mark, I think it's the best chance we've had since this thing was created by Lyndon Baines Johnson. Conservatives have been complaining about it for years, as you rightly noted. But, right, nobody's ever really, really gotten serious. But the president has now asked Congress in a rescissions package to eliminate their funding. That doesn't mean they're going to go away, unfortunately. But they get a lot. They get over $1 billion every 2 years from taxpayers, and not just liberal taxpayers, but all of us. And if anybody listens to them, I just literally had the radio on yesterday and I put on NPR and they were talking about, you know, Pope Francis dying and his legacy. Every single person they interviewed was on the left and had, you know, their view of Pope Francis, but there was only one view, right? They did not have a balanced report at any point during the program that they talked about this issue. And that's just one example. You know, they would talk about him and how great he was on climate change and how great he was for social justice and so forth. And I'm not dissing Pope Francis, but there were different views of his papacy.
Yes.
And his thoughts on some of these things. They had no one from any other angle talking about his papacy. And that's just, like I said, one example. You pick any issue, they talk to one side. That's just the way they are.
I think
they know it. That's what they are.
It's true. And the thing about it is they could have fixed it is the point.
That's right.
My wife admits to listening to tuning into NPR sometimes in the afternoons for some of the long form stories they tell. And they do a really good job with some of that stuff. And I don't want to throw it all out with the bathwater. But when the overall bias is undeniable in their news coverage, and they seem oblivious to this. And I don't know why Congress wouldn't do this if maybe they can make it part of the reconciliation bill. Is that what they're talking about?
Well, it basically would be a rescissions package. And this is also where the president's going to ask to defund or take away most of the money going to USAID, for example. And what this is money that Congress has, quote unquote, already allocated. It's saying, no, we're actually going to take that back. So it's not going to take it out of their bank account, but they've already been given, told you're going to get this money. And they're saying, no, we're going to take it. We're going to take it back from you. But again, Mark, this is, you know, they make their own money. They don't just exist by public funding. So they can continue to go, but there's absolutely, or continue to broadcast, but there's no reason that they should get money that no one, I mean, does Fox News get $1 billion from the government every year?
They wish.
I don't think so. Yeah, they may wish, but why should they? They clearly, in their reporting, skew to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that, but okay, fine. They do it on their own. They have advertisers. They have viewers. The reality is, NPR, and you rightly pointed, the article we had in the Daily Signal talks about this, in their Washington bureau, which of course covers most of their coverage of what's happening in government and politics, of all the reporters in there, every single one of them, every single person that works there was a registered Democrat. Not one person was a registered Republican. There's no way you can be fair and balanced when that's what your staff is.
Speaking of fair and balance, there was another article in the Daily Signal talking about the mainstream media's just love affair with Joe Biden. He's, for whatever reason, doing these public speeches. He was speaking of a few days ago, and he was trashing Donald Trump, which I thought was odd. You know, how often does that happen where someone who was beat in an election is still bashing his then opponent? What is going on here?
Well, what's going on is that the press hates, by and large, doesn't like Donald Trump, and they may not love Joe Biden, but they're not going to treat him poorly. We had an article about this, and I think it was spot on. It was Victor Davis Hanson who actually did this. He said, look, I watched the speech two or three times, and then I would look at the news coverage in places like the Wall Street Journal, where you would expect maybe a little bit better, and it's like, the reality of what I watched and what they reported, it was like two different things. You know, I mean, he fumbled through his speech. He didn't make a lot of sense in much of his speech. I mean, it's what most of us saw over the past few years, certainly in the last 6 months of his presidency. And yet, to read the article, it was as though, oh, this there was nothing wrong with the speech. He was just complaining about how Trump is wrong on this and Trump is going to do that. And it's like that. No, that really wasn't the point of the speech. The point of the speech was that Joe Biden shouldn't be out there giving any speeches.
Yeah, very true. There was a great clip yesterday with Elizabeth Warren and some podcaster who called her out on that. I don't know if you saw it or not. I've got the sound here somewhere, but she basically says, you can't be serious. Like, you didn't notice anything. You said he was still just fine.
He was standing.
He was standing.
The standard's very, very low.
he was standing. Okay, things are great. That's wonderful.
Nothing to see here.
But, you know, the good news is that there are some people like that podcaster who I don't believe is a conservative. And they're just going to be more. I mean, we've already had, one or two books come out of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Biden, that stuff's going to continue to drip out, and the left's going to continue to have to answer questions because they lied to the public for several years about what they knew was going on.
What did they know, and when did they know?
Well, remember with even Kamala Harris for 60 Minutes, they were choosing to take certain things that put her in a better light. So it's just going to continue with the Democrats, and the mainstream media feeds right into it.
They totally do. But the good news is, Kim, I think most of the public is onto it. And that's one reason NPR and others are freaked out, is because I think they realize the gig is up and we're not just going to keep getting the money like we've always got. No matter what we do, we can behave however we want, report however we want, and Congress is just going to keep giving us money. That's why all the agencies in Washington are upset. Trump is finally doing what so many people have said, which is you can't keep, you know, just blasting out taxpayer dollars and not being accountable. And we're coming in and we're looking at your books. It's happening in agency after agency after agency. And they don't like it because they're being held accountable for once.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, again, the public sees a lot of this. And I think they're on, you know, most of the polls that you see, most people like what they see the Trump administration doing. And I think that's going to be true of NPR. Nobody is going to be crying because NPR is losing their funding.
That is absolutely the truth. Genevieve Wood, thank you as always.
Thank you.
You bet. Senior advisor at Heritage and heritage.org, dailysignal.com, if you want to go check them out. Some news in the gun world, and we're going to get to attorney Jeremy Rosenthal talking about that coming up here at about 7:35, and then we'll get to Kim on a Whim at about a quarter till. We're going to be back in just a minute. Welcome back. You know, I mentioned this earlier, a big victory, in my opinion, for the Second Amendment. And now the question is, how far reaching might that be? We've got attorney Jeremy Rosenthal joining us this morning. Jeremy, great to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. And I got to say, you know, that Def Leppard intro, what is that, Rock of Ages?
Yeah.
Like, that gives me goosebumps, and my 13-year-old daughter thinks I am. She makes fun of it, and I don't get it. It's awesome.
So does my co-host.
Yeah, not my jam.
Her eyes roll, too, when I play that stuff, so there you have it.
Okay. All right, whatever. I love it. Anyway, I can see the guy in the hood, right, from the video, you remember? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the video on MTV, absolutely. Hey, this gun rights case out of Minnesota came through the St. Louis Circuit, the district court, I believe, and the Supreme Court has now smacked down Minnesota's gun law, correct?
Right. Minnesota's gun law since 2003 said you had to be 21 to own a firearm. A lot of gun advocacy groups taking advantage of the 6-3 conservative Supreme Court split has been very bullish on these types of cases, and this one's going to have some pretty far-reaching effects for the reason that 30 states currently have gun laws that don't allow possession of firearms until you're 21 years old. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals right in St. Louis said the Second Amendment doesn't have an age limit. It doesn't say it in the Second Amendment, so they struck it, and the U.S. Supreme Court left it alone, which functionally, it doesn't make it the law of the land. It makes it, at least at a minimum, the law of the Eighth Circuit, but it's a really, really, really good indication that if you live in a fill-in-the-blank state and you make a similar challenge, you're going to win it.
Yeah, Florida is one of those states, right?
I don't know that off the top of my head. But I know Iowa has just amended their law. Their governor signed into a bill into effect that's lowering the limit. So they're not waiting on somebody to challenge it there. But right, yeah. So and you would think that these are going to be states, conservative states that have Republican governors. You would think that they're going to amend it pretty quickly. But also some of the other states, that's where the legal challenges are going to come in. And if I'm an attorney general of, say, California or Oregon, I don't know that I fight it because I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that works out.
That's good news.
Jeremy, I'm sure you saw the news yesterday where RFK Jr. came out and said that HHS is working with the FDA to basically...
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Phase out 8 of these artificial food dyes and colorings from the food supply by the end of next year, which is huge. I'd imagine there would be lawsuits from some of these manufacturers who were saying, hey, that's not fair. But what does this mean for me and you? People like us who maybe have looked at the food we've consumed and the amount of dyes in them and thought, man, maybe I've been injured by this. I mean, do you imagine, like, what would it be, a class action lawsuit coming from this?
Yeah. I would hope that whatever happens, that lawyers get paid a lot of money. my diet is particularly carnivore heavy. But to your point, Kim, let me throw this out here. And you're going to regret this one, Kim, because when it comes to federal agencies and the law, there have been some massive, massive changes. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about I'm talking about the ability of federal agencies to sort of make rules and laws. And there has been, the U.S. Supreme Court has come in, and they call it the major decisions doctrine, that talk about, look, we want the executive branch and these other agencies, we want them to be slow by nature. And so if they're making these radical policy decisions, it's not so cut and dry that the executive can do this because, and I don't know off the top of my hand, whether the FDA was created by Congress or through executive action, that's how all these federal agencies are made. It may be that you could try to challenge RFK. You may try to challenge the FDA's decision to do something that would be this big. Which is a short way of saying, Kim, thanks a lot. You had to ask the super nerd out question, and you got it. Yeah. So it's extremely complicated. But yes, again, the bottom line is lawyers going to get paid here. Yes.
People could sue the manufacturers for claiming that it was healthy and fine and hunky dory to put in food, and clearly studies keep coming out that it's not.
That's how it would work, I would think, would be some sort of class action lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And you would have to show damages. Anytime you're a class action is designed to address these kind of paper cut infractions, right? Like Netflix charged me 11 cents too much every month for whatever. Now, Netflix made, 800 million off of that last year, times all the Americans, times all the months, times all the cents. So it's they're going to send a nasty letter over this. But the point is that you know, when a company makes, you know, does something where the government has such a small effect, you know, the people have to join in aggregate to have a meaningful resolution. That's a class action.
That's a good point. Attorney Jeremy Rosenthal, listen, we always appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Rock of Ages. We'll see you.
Rock of Ages. we'll talk to you soon. Yeah, I love that. You'll get the little card in the mail that says you might be a member of a class action lawsuit. You don't have to take any action to remain part of this. You can exclude yourself if you want. And you're like, all right. And 6 months or 12 months later, you get a check in the mail for $8.32 because you were part of the class action lawsuit. Yeah, and for that $8.32, you've given up your ability to ever sue over that again.
I mean, this has to result, though, in some lawsuits, because how long have they said this stuff is fine when these dyes have been illegal, that you can't put your banned, I should say, in Europe and other parts of the world. But for some reason, for so long, the FDA was allowing them in the food here in the United States.
I think it's a fair point. I also think that there are going to have to be some protections in there, because if FDR.
How many years are we going back now, Mark?
If RFK comes out in 6 months and says, we've completed our study of autism and fluoride in the water is what caused autism. I'm just speculating here. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's red dye number three. It's something that's in our food that we've added in over the years. It's increased the amount of autism, and they can conclusively determine this is what caused autism. Who do you sue over that? Like the federal government made a decision back in the 50s to encourage people to put fluoride in the water so people would have fewer cavities and better dental health. Who do you sue over that?
Well, so I see your point, but let's think about the Westlake landfill right here in St. Louis County. And there's a big, Josh Hawley's been spearheading that, where people have had cancer and all sorts of health issues. And it was because the federal government came in and did that. So to your point, I mean, who do you sue? But in this case, it seems very obvious that a poor decision was made all those years back with the federal government deciding to put nuclear waste there. And it's been detrimental on people's health. And so someone in that case should be held accountable. So I don't have an exact answer, but there has to be some sort of a consequence for these poor decisions that were made that are impacting people. Because when it comes to these dyes, they're saying it's causing behavioral issues, ADHD, all sorts of things. I mean, that's just one example, you know.
Sodas. I mean, it's probably in everything, isn't it?
Oh, it's in a lot. I mean, just go compare the you know, Fruit Loops, ours in Europe. It's like ours are brightly colored and theirs are dull, and they look just fine. I'd still eat them.
Yeah, and I have, for sure. That's one of my favorite.
When I go
cereals.
To hotels, I get my fruit. You know, the little thing where you turn the knob.
Yeah,
I love that, because I don't ever buy cereal because I'd binge it. But I get my Fruit Loops because that's like the one time I let myself indulge.
I always go to the little waffle maker.
Oh, I think love the waffle maker.
Yeah. I gotta get one of those.
Turn it over.
Someday, for sure. All right. What are we talking about on Kim and a Whim?
You have an amazing opportunity, guys, coming up in about a week and a half. This is going to be a 21-day challenge. I'm telling you, you're going to want to take part in, especially if you're a white male and you're feeling really guilty about your whiteness and just the fact that you're so privileged. You better listen up.
Every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Kim on a Whim.
Please mark your calendars for May 1st. There's a very exciting opportunity coming up, and that is the YWCA St. Louis is hosting a 21-day racial equity and social justice challenge. They want to help people foster better understanding and identify ways to dismantle racism and end discrimination. If you subscribe to St. Louis County Library, those emails, you may have received this in your inbox the other day, just letting you know about this really fantastic opportunity that you have. It's virtual. And basically how it works is every single day you get a different challenge. That could be reading an article they suggest, listening to a podcast, doing some self-reflection on your own experiences. And then once a week, at Wednesdays at 10 a.m. during the month of May, during that time frame I mentioned, the 1st to the 21st of May, you're going to come together in a facilitate a discussion with others who are doing this challenge and talk about what you've learned so far.
Wow.
Would you like to join, Mark?
I can't
wait. You should feel bad about your whiteness.
And I do. I do. The white privilege that helps me every day pay for gas and all
and
that good stuff. Yes. And interestingly, They're kicking it off on May Day, the Socialist Labor Party Day. For the whole world. Isn't that nice? Thank you, YWCA.
It's great timing.
I think it's good for us all to reflect on what kind of privilege we have. I know personally my white privilege card has entitled me to start working at age 14 and every day since then to try to make ends meet. So it's clearly paid off. I mean, without it, who knows where I would be? Mm. I just don't know.
And you think about all these stories of people who say that they came from the rags to riches story. They started out in these really impoverished neighborhoods and, you know, their parents were both in jail or something like that. And now they're multi-million-dollar, you know, they're super wealthy and they're leading up these really successful companies. They want you to believe that that's not possible. Listen to these topics that they have per week, their weekly topics. First one, age of misinformation and disinformation. They say that this affects racial justice by spreading false information, biased stories, and reinforcing stereotypes that shape public opinion and policy. Another one, interpersonal racism. American Dream says how systemic racism impacts access to the American Dream for people of color. Because
really?
Everyone's a victim, right?
Everybody.
You cannot achieve the American Dream. By the way, you don't have to be a multimillionaire to achieve the American Dream. Having a roof over your head, good health... those are arguably that would be the American dream. And then the racialization of crime refers to how racial biases and stereotypes affect people's perceptions of crime and shape criminal justice policies. Should we join this challenge just out of curiosity?
No.
Come on.
But I think you should do it and report back.
No, you have mentioned the Matt Walsh, what is a woman? And then his other one, was it What is Racism or something like that? And what was the movie he just came out with in the theaters? I went and saw it. Something about racism.
Yeah.
Where he wears a wig.
Am I racist?
That's it. I mean, you should see it if you haven't. But he goes to those meetings and he wears, you know, the glasses and puts his hair back.
And he completely plays into all the verbiage and all that stuff to try to help end his wokeness or his whiteness. Or, I mean, it's an amazing thing to see. I think that would be fun to taunt them. I have enough enemies who are liberals right now. I think that might just provoke them.
Why not add a few more? Come on.
I have no problem with that at all. I just think my BS indicator goes off a little too loudly sometimes. I don't think I could stop saying, "You've got to be kidding me."
Rolling your eyes.
Oh, for God's sake.
Mr. Cox,
what the hell's wrong with you people?
You'd like to say?
Yes, thank you.
And if you don't live in the state of Missouri or Illinois, I know we have listeners who are tuning in from Tennessee. Someone said
yes.
They were listening to us from a different country, by the way.
Oh,
we came
awesome.
Up on the YouTube feed somehow. But anyway, you too can listen because the YWCA all across the country, maybe even the world if that's a thing, if they have it, they're doing this too.
Oh, it's nationwide.
It is nation. Just start by if you're a white male listening right now, just start by apologizing and reflecting on how you're really privileged.
I'm gonna start a GoFundMe page, and if I raise 40 or 50 grand, I'll give up my white privilege card.
Give it back in reparations.
Yes,
Mark. You owe the people.
Absolutely, that's the ultimate goal here, right? Wow. Coming up, we'll get to Taylor Riggs from Fox Business. Stay tuned.